Now, if you could turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6, 2 Kings chapter 6, and we're going to read two verses, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16 and 17, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16 and 17, as we continue our series through the Bible, and we're in the book of 1 and 2 Kings. And after I read it, I'm going to say this is the word of the Lord. And if you could, all children out there and everyone out there, could respond by saying, thanks be to God. Appreciate that. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. This is God's word. And he said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Before we begin the sermon, maybe one more ask for God's help at this time for the preaching of the word. Again, if you could join me in prayer. Please pray for me and for yourself. Now I pray. Father in heaven, O Lord, we need your help now. Your word is your mind, the mind of God. And so we need your help. Holy Spirit, open our minds and our hearts and our eyes that we might see the truth, you might see Christ and all the beauties and excellencies of your Son now. Help us to see Him. Help the children now to be engaged in your Word, in Jesus, so that they might know Him and that truth of Christ might set them free. Now I pray. We beg of you, come and help us, even in this time, in this virtual worship service, live stream worship service. Lord, I pray that you would, your word will go forth into this camera, into the truth will go into the ears and the minds and the hearts of your people who are watching at this time. And may a miracle happen, that your truth would change and transform them more and more to the image of Christ. Help us make that miracle happen. Do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, I pray. Resurrection power. Resurrect us, I pray. And help us to see you now. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen. As we said, we're not in the through the Bible series, and we're in the book of the Kings. In the book of Kings, we already saw in the history, the judges flood into history, and now the kings flood into history, and eventually the prophets will flood into history. No prophets for 500 years. John the Baptist comes. And then the Messiah comes. At this time in the book of Kings, David dies, is advanced in years. His son Solomon takes and anoints as king. He builds a temple, Solomon. Solomon dies. Solomon's son Rehoboam comes to power. And he had enemies up north. Jeroboam up north rebelled against Rehoboam, Solomon's son. The kingdom divides north and south. The north is now called Israel, and south is called Judah. And it is at this time in the book of Kings, two main prophets come into history, Elijah and Elisha. And today's text in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16 and 17, we see prophet Elisha. And I want us to see this phrase in chapter 16 and 17 of how this prophet Elijah, he says, pray that this his servant, pray to the Lord to open, please open his eyes that he might see, that he might know reality. And I want to take that idea and explore that idea this morning. Let me give you a context of that. Before they opened the eyes in verse 16 and 17. Syria, the king of Assyria was warring against the king of Israel. King of Syria was strategizing and tactics against the king of Israel and Israel. And every time the king of Syria was trying to make his maneuvers, he seemed like the king of Israel knew what he was doing. And he got really angry. And his servant said, you know, who has betrayed me? And his servant replied, there is a prophet, Elisha, who knows your moves and then telling the king of Israel. And the king of Syria got frustrated and angry, and he came to kill Elisha, surrounded his city with his armies of chariots. And then the servant gets afraid, but not Elisha, because Elisha saw God open his eyes to see chariots and horses of fire surrounding, protecting Elisha and the servant. And so this opening the eyes and seeing, I want to explore that idea. In 500 BC, Heraclitus, a Greek philosopher, was the first person to use the word logos to mean the principle of order and knowledge. And the philosophers after him added to that meaning and said that man has the rational ability to explain a rational universe. They didn't think it was an accident that a man and the world both operate on a rational level, according to law and reason. In fact, they thought that the logos was to be an active, rational, and spiritual principle that permeated all of reality. I'm going to say it one more time. They thought, the Greek philosophers thought, that the word logos was the active, rational, spiritual principle that permeated all of reality. They thought the world is like a car, and it was deliberately designed with an operator in mind. I mean, think about the steering wheel in a car. Well, the steering wheel in a car is for us to take hold of it and steer the car, you know, left or right or forward. And that's what the Greek philosophers thought. That when God does not, when someone, the logos, okay, this idea of rational principle, of ration and reason, a man was able to take advantage of and see the world in that way, a rational universe. It's kind of like, you know what this is? This is like, there's five things protruding out of, you know, this cloth here. And this was designed, what do you think this was designed for? Okay, this five little thing coming out. Well, oh, here's my hand. You know, five things coming out. These are fingers. And so this glove was perfectly designed for my hand. So that could, the perfect fit, see? And that's what the Greek philosophers saw, that the human mind with his rational and reason, was able to think and see and know a rational universe, see it, know it, and take advantage of it. Philo, a Jewish philosopher, comes between 20 BC and 50 AD, and this philosopher thought that the Logos that John talks about on John chapter 1, verse 1, Philo thought that the Logos was an intermediary being between matter and God. And so this intermediary being helped make plain to the human mind and to the human the relation between the matter and God. And Apostle John takes those two ideas, the Greek philosophers and Philo, and in one way agrees with them, but also disagrees. Apostle John in John chapter 1, verse 1, says that Logos actually designed the mind of a man with a rational mind to comprehend and use the rational creation. So it's not just a rational principle that permeated reality. It was the Logos that actually designed man and the rational creation. And John also corrects Philo and agrees, because Philo said that this intermediary being made plain to the human mind matter so we could know things, the truth about reality. And this intermediary being continues to make truth to us, what we see and know. But he was wrong that this intermediary being is just a person. John says in John chapter 1, verse 1, we're going to read it soon, that this intermediary being is a person, but it is God Himself. John chapter 1, verse 1 and following. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that has been made. In Him, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In other words, John defines the word Logos, taking from the Greek philosopher and from Philo, and says that the Logos is not just a rational principle at work in reality. The Logos is a person. And the Logos is God Himself, not just a person. Jesus is the one who designed the world according to the rational law, mind and reason, the whole system, like the hand and the glove, works together. And Christ, the Logos, continual activity, makes truth and reality and experience and knowledge possible for us. It says in Colossians chapter 1, it says Jesus, the Logos, holds the world in His hand. It is Him that holds it. It is Him that made everything. And He not only upholds it, but He gently takes care of everything that this world needs. Logos, Jesus, makes life in this world possible. Let me take you for example. Light, most of our data that we experience in this world, most of our data comes through the light. So that's why sight is the most important of the five physical senses. And light is a peculiar thing. When light comes to an object, let's say a red apple, when a light comes to an apple, and a light has all kinds of different colors. But what happens is the apple, the red apple, absorbs all of the different colors and bounces off the color, which is red, into our eyes. And we see red because the light, the surface of the apple rejects. We see what the apple rejects, and it rejects the color red. Not only it shows us the color, it shows us the position of the apple, its shape, perhaps its motion, etc. In other words, Jesus makes all that possible for us. The color, what it is, shape, that's why when God made us a rational being, with all kinds of way he made man able to interact with his creation, it was all because of Christ. When I see the beauty of nature, when I walk to the Highland Park and I see the tree, you know who's responsible for that, the beauty? It was Christ. The beauty and the trees or the flowers blooming, all those were made through and in Christ. You and I were made in and through Christ. It is Logos, Jesus, who tells the sun to rise, and it is a Logos that tells the sun to set. Again, Christ holds this universe in His hands, and He makes your and my life possible to see and to know that this is a wood and a podium, and I see people, and there's an empty pews, okay? All that knowledge that I get is possible because Christ made me this way, and He's giving me information through the light into my sight, so I could know the truth about the pews. I'm not dreaming here. There's two person right here, you know, Sam and Isaac and James in the back. All the truth that I get from my senses and my eyes is all true. Not a dream. And you know who makes that possible? Christ, the Logos, makes everything possible for us to live and experience this world. It is from Him and through Him. It is from Him, through Logos, through Him, and to Him are all things. All things that we know and see and experience, it's all through and from Christ. He makes it possible. To Him be glory forever. Amen. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Because you know why? Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, Christ is responsible for this, for you and my existence and our experience and our life. He's behind it all. He's only also not behind it all, but He's intimately involved in our lives. Not just directing it, but giving us information, truth that we need to make life here on this earth possible. Without Christ, there is no life. There is no way to experience this world. Christ, the Logos, makes life past possible for us every day. That's why it is a tragedy. Now, I'm going to share my personal testimony a little bit later, but my 19 years of my life, even though Christ was intimately involved in my life, giving me the truth, experience of this life. Did I give Him credit? No, I give other things credit for that. If we know what's happening, even in this physical universe, we should. It is right for us to give glory to God every day, to be thankful for this life experience that we have, because it is the Logos that is making all things possible. To know the truth, the experience,
this life through the five senses that He has given us and He has made to interact with His creation that He made. It's like the hand and the glove. We're made for each other. But Logos also not only gives us the truth about this world, that we could know the truth about this world and experience this world, but the Logos also gives us truth about the spiritual world. Spiritual world. Not only the Logos shows us the truth about the physical universe to know and see and take advantage of it, the Logos also gives His people, Christians, the ability to know and see, experience the spiritual world. The spiritual world of God and His kingdom. I remember when I got converted in college, I was 19 years old. And as long as I can remember, before I was 19, before I got converted, I could remember that basically I lived for myself. I did what I wanted, what I desired. What seemed good to me is what I did, and what made me feel good, made me happy. But when Jesus showed up, and when He showed me and He gave me the light, His light, into the spiritual world, I realized at that moment, and even preceding, a few months after that, I realized that God created me. And He created me not to just to live for myself. God created me to live for Him. There is the light. I thought life was to focus on myself. I thought life was focusing on myself will make me happy. And Jesus showed me that focusing on the self was because I was a sinner. Changed my life. My friends changed. I remember after I got converted, a few months after that, I came from break from home, and one of my best friends in high school was Mike Mahoney. And so I rushed to him, and I still remember we're at the restaurant. Fast food restaurant, and I was sitting, across from him, telling him about Jesus. And I don't remember what I said. I was probably terrible. Something about you need to believe in Jesus, and He's the way. And he wanted nothing of it. He actually came to church with me every Sunday. I invited him because church was boring for me, and I wanted to have fun with my friend. I had to go to church. I invited him, and we used to go to church together, go to retreats together. And he wanted nothing of this Jesus. And I try to hang out with him afterwards, play basketball together and do things together that we did before. And it wasn't the same anymore. I didn't want to do the things that he wanted to do. It didn't make me, it wasn't fun anymore. The fun in my life now was God. The fun with me was not hanging out with this guy, my best friend who was in darkness. I knew where he was going. That's where I was going. Nowhere in life. And so my friends changed. I wanted to hang out with people who loved God, who loved His Word. My music I used to listen to changed. I stopped listening to the trash, all the trash that I was listening to. My view of this world and me completely shattered. I put all of my eggs and all of my marbles in this one basket called the world, this world. And Jesus showed me how foolish that was. Jesus gave me knowledge, and He helped me to see that reality that I couldn't see before. He showed me that I should not worry about the things in this world. He showed me and helped me to know that I should not love the world or things in the world, the pride in possession, or the love of the Father is not in me. The Logos showed me, Jesus showed me, to store treasures in heaven, not treasures on earth. He showed me to put my mind and the heart on things above and not things below. All these revelation and knowledge and sight was shown to me by Christ. Just like He makes us understand this world and experience this world, the Logos, Jesus, Christ, helped me understand God. God is spirit, and His world is spiritual world. Look, God, I want to read three texts for us to get this idea of what Christ is doing. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. That the Lord of our God, of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of knowledge, of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Who did this? Christ did. Having the eyes of our hearts enlightened, that you may know, you may see what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. Now I can see, especially through His word, that we have this hope of inheritance. And He shows it to us through His people. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we all Christians, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, we can see His glory. We can know, experience the glory of Christ, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Or Psalm 119, verse 18. Psalmist prays, open my eyes that I may behold or see or know wonderful things in your law. Open my eyes. Who does the opening of the eyes? That we might see that the word is precious, the word is wonderful. If you learn anything wonderful and precious in the Bible, it is because Christ, the Logos, is opening His truth for us that we could see it, we could know it, we could experience His truth, and we could taste it. Just like we taste things in the world, food. You know who makes it possible for the food that we love and makes it experience good and taste good? It's because Christ makes that possible, because He designed us. And He made the food that we taste and eat. All the experience in this world, the physical universe, all the experience that we know in the spiritual world is all because of the Logos. He makes that experience possible. He made my experience, my conversion possible. Live for myself, and now I'm doing all I can to live for God. He is real. Everything in God's Word is the truth. The person that made me see that is Jesus, the Logos Himself. You know, when I got converted, the first thing, I remember, I hardly read the Bible. It's amazing. I was a pastor's kid, and I hardly read the Bible. It's pretty amazing, I think. And the first thing that convinced me, one of the first things that convinced me, even though I didn't know any of the Bible, okay, I knew this was the truth. I knew this was life. Who showed me that? Who gave me that knowledge? It wasn't because I came up with it, because I was smart. No, Christ, the Logos, showed me. Helped me know that this is the truth. And so the Logos gives us information and know this world, the physical universe, because he designed it and he made a rational universe, and we could know it and manipulate it and take advantage of it and know it. And Logos also made the spiritual world, and he, with his people, through faith, through the truth, able to experience and know the spiritual world and God, who is spirit. And the Logos not only help us to know the physical universe and the spiritual universe, spiritual world, the Logos also helps us to reach the lost. This is the very thing that an unbeliever needs. Look at what he said. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 26, verse 17 to 18. Acts chapter 26, verse 17 to 18. Delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I'm sending you. Jesus talking to Paul. I'm sending you. Why is he sending? Was Jesus sending Paul to the Gentiles? What's the purpose? Look at verse 18. To what? To open their eyes. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light. That's what happened to me. Living for myself, focusing on myself, was darkness. And he moved me to light. Focusing on myself right now, I know that's death. I need to focus on God. He made me to focus on God. There is the light. And Paul was sent to do that, to open their eyes to see and know, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan. Yes, yes. Before I was converted, I was Satan's puppet. I was listening to him and his lies. And now, I don't listen to his lies. I know where the truth is. The more truth I know, I could sense and smell the lies from Satan. Even though he comes as an angel of light, because I know his truth, and I compare with the truth with, you know, half-truths. Power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. That's what happened to me. And that has happened to you. Christ did this, that we may receive the forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 6. And if our gospel is veiled, you can't see it. It is veiled to those who are perishing. I was perishing before the veil was there. And then in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what we should pray. If you have an unbelieving family member or friends or whoever, a co-worker, We must pray that this light that Christ only gives, this knowledge from darkness to light, to unveil the blindness and darkness in their lives. We must pray that way. God, please, I pray that you would remove the darkness and the blindness and this veil that Satan is doing. Oh God, Jesus, come with your power and light. Let light shine into my friend's darkness, that they might see and know this glory, this Jesus. I pray. You know, oftentimes, you know, when we say, oh, you know, I want my, you know, my father or my mother or my friend to believe in Jesus, you know, and we pray for their salvation. Well, sometimes, you know, even though, you know, I pray that we hear someone will come and show them the truth. Sometimes, not often, but sometimes, that prayer that you did is probably answered. And you know who? It's probably you. You need to tell them. It's not someone else going to tell them. Sometimes the prayer is answered by people who are praying. You go and tell them. And I often think about this when we have someone who is an unbeliever, not a Christian. You know who most of their friends are? Non-Christian. You know, most of my friends, okay, even though I went to church and all that stuff, most of my friends are non-Christian. Okay, who's going to tell me about who Jesus is? You won't be my friends, closest friends. I'm surrounded with people who are in darkness. They're not going to tell me. It's going to be somebody outside of the group that will tell me who Jesus is. It can't be the coworker. Probably the coworker is an unbeliever too. They're in darkness. Not only pray, you need to pray like that, like this text says. Or perhaps you pray for God will give you an opportunity for you to, as you prepare, not only do you pray for them regularly, but also an opportunity to share with them, whether your personal testimony or truth in the Bible. Perhaps God has called you who are thinking or care about that person. And I see that in our text this morning. This open the eyes. Because remember what happened. Go back to 2 Kings. This opening of the eyes that Jesus did to this servant. Just going back to the story. The Elisha and the servant was surrounded by this great army, okay? And look at the servant's reaction. Look at him. Look at what he says. He says, when the servant of, verse 15, 2 Corinthians, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15, when the servant of the man rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all on the city. And the servant says, alas, my master, what shall we do? Well, this is how he was really. Alas, my master, what shall we do? We are ruined. He was scared. He was scared for his life. Great army. And look at the calmness of the prophet Elisha. The reason he was calm and he was not afraid, because Elisha was able to see beyond the physical universe. He saw another world. He saw and he knew another reality. And he saw what? Full of horses and chariots of fire. Horses and chariots of fire. What is that against horses and chariots of this world? No competition. That's why the Elisha prayed, oh Lord, please open his eyes that he might know. That he might. Because the Lord does things like that. He not gives us sight and knowledge of this world. Our Lord gives us sight and understanding and to know the spiritual world And when the Lord opened the young man's eyes, I could only imagine, it didn't say in the text, I could imagine what his reaction was. Not fear. Fear is gone. Just like Elisha. God was with him with his horses and chariots of fire. God opened his eyes just like God opened Elisha's eyes. And that's what we need. And that's what Christ, the Logos, did for us. He opened our spiritual eyes, the eyes of the heart, to be able to see and experience God, who is Spirit, and His Son. And all the knowledge that we know about that world is because Christ made it possible. It's the Logos that made it possible. To Him be glory forever. And so, my brothers and sisters, let's be, praise the Lord, all glory to Him. This world, how we function and live in this world is because of Christ. And how we know and experience a spiritual reality is because of the Logos. Everything comes from Him and to Him and for Him be glory. Father in heaven, what a glorious it is. Often we give Jesus the credit for death and resurrection. Though those are unbelievable work. Your Son, Logos, has been working from the beginning of creation. And He's continuing to work in this whole world, Christian and non-Christian, to make possible their lives. Because You, Your Son, Logos, created them. And they're able to experience and know this world. It's because of Your Son. And Lord, we thank You that You have done this with us and saved us so that we could know a spiritual world. That we could see and experience You, O God, who is Spirit. And ever truly know Your spiritual world's heaven. Spiritual reality, hell. And all kinds of spiritual truths that You have given us in Your where would we be without those things that Christ showed us, revealed to us, to Your people? We'll be without hope in the midst of trials and tribulations. But we thank You, O Lord, for that amazing gift in Christ. And all glory is given to Him. Pray. All this not by might, not by power, but by Your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen.